You are listening to Cracking the Rich Code with Miss Merrily, your insider's club from authors and entrepreneurs across the country, giving us their best to help us crack the rich code. And now, here is Miss Merrily.
Welcome, everyone, to Cracking the Rich Code. I am Miss Merrily. I am so excited once again. This is just a wonderful day. Today, I get to interview Noah Amperano, and I'm sure he will correct me if I said that wrong, but it's Italian, Amperano. His chapter was so amazing. As I was reading it, it resonated with me, and I'm falling in love with this guy. I'm like, this is just wonderful. What you're contributing to society is great. His stories are just so transformational, inspiring, positive. I really can't wait to share him with you and hear where he's coming from. I want to know how he started from a professional athlete. He went to an international fashion model, and then now he's a business owner. And no, I don't have no idea what you look like out there. No, I have not seen you yet, but excited too. So I'm going to welcome you to the show. I'm so happy to have you here. Are you there?
Thank you for having me. Yes, here.
Wonderful. All right. Well, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show, and so much energy between us. And I mean, we literally, I'm thinking to myself, and wait a minute, let's save this for the show.
Yeah. And so, I wanted to say, I appreciate you having me on this show, by the way. Very grateful.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Like I said, it is such an honor for me to be sitting in this seat where all the co-authors come through and I get to meet you, hear your voice, your story, and, you know, put a life to just the chapter, you know, the words that are in there. But honestly, without knowing anything at all and just reading these words, you really, really impressed me. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's been a journey.
You're welcome. So you're the title of the chapter is It's Just a Choice. And where do you want to start with this? Tell me a little bit about growing up.
So I grew up in the Napa Valley. I grew up with severe learning challenges at a young age. Then I was put into an institution through just because I learned differently. You know, I learned visually, so I wasn't disruptive in the classroom setting per se, but I was I had high energy, you know, and I learned from it. I could see something done once or twice, and I could get it done on the third time. And for me, that was pretty hard because I could see a lot of people around me at a young age getting things and just adapting and growing, and whether it was math or reading. And I was sitting there like, man, like I have this gift to see something, you know, a couple times and get it done. But like, why do I feel like everyone around me is just excelling and growing and growing, and I'm kind of stuck? And that's when, you know, I was put on a series of stimulants through the school. You know, they said I was bipolar, and they diagnosed me, and I was put on Depakote, Seroquel, lithium, albuterol, all these heavy medications. I was gaining weight, I was losing weight, you know, I was on this constant roller coaster. I was probably maybe 8 or 6 around there. So I was pretty young, maybe might have been 10. I kind of bump up the years a little bit.
That breaks my heart as a mother.
Yeah, I came from my dad. He decided to stay in Napa, so my mom took the role as a single mother. So, growing up, me and my brother, we moved from Napa, drove all the way to, you know, the city down in Marin, California, and just, you know, lived in a various, you know, bounced from motels to motels while my mom, you know, was going out trying to make connections and find role models to put in our lives. And at the time, my parents were getting divorced, and they couldn't handle the medication issue, and developed panic attacks, and then, you know, almost drowned in a pool. I was actually found on the bottom of the pool. My auntie pulled me out, and I woke up the next day in a institution, and there was a patient laying next to me, and I was just like, what, where's my life? Like, what just happened? You know, well, and, you know, I was scared, and it was, you know, that's kind of the short story of my upbringing. But it was, you know, it wasn't easy, but it wasn't all that bad either. You know, there was a lot of incredible moments and people that I got to see and interact with that brought joy to my life and that allowed me to bring joy to their lives. And I mean, I'm getting a little tilted up because it's so, we have this ability to be so kind to others and ourselves. And it's just, we make it too complicated. It's just a choice to do something and treat yourself and feel good about it, or to do something for others. But I think it's how we structure it. It's like we've been told, okay, like, you know, do this quick or do this and do that and wake up at 4 a.m. and do this. And it's like, man, like, but what would actually work for me? Like, what would work for Noah? Like, what would make my life not easy, but ease? Because a lot of people, they say, oh, let's have an easy life. And it's like, no, well, what if you had an easeful life?
Explain that more.
So easy would be, and this is something I learned growing up, it was like people would be like, oh, man, like you get everything so easily. I'm like, I really don't. My brother grew up, you know, growing up, I have an older brother, Gabe, and he was so jealous. He got everything, whether it was snowboarding, skiing, you know, he just got everything right away. You know, it was like, it was instant for him. And, you know, for me, I had to, it was just like, man, so that's so easy to do that for him. But like, for me, it was, I had to create my own ease. I had to stop looking at things were easy and I had to look at, man, if I could take easy, what would another word be below easy? And it was ease for me. And it was like, all right, cool. So what could I do with total ease that would create the path and the direction for my life and living? And I just allowed the universe to contribute to me. I allowed the plants and animals to be around me. I let go. I lowered all my barriers. I became completely vulnerable with who I was and was just honest and started saying, okay, so where do I go from here? You know, if he's doing this and they're doing this, where do I go? You know, with my background, my story, everything. And it was just, it was to choose things that kept expanding my reality and that were fun for me, you know. And some things in life aren't always going to be fun, but if you can choose from a place of awareness and you can choose from a place of, man, okay, be where your feet are, I'm present, cool. What's available to me? What's in front of me? Cool. This is available. Cool. Is this going to create the future that I desire? Yes or no? No. Okay, cool. So what else is possible? All right, cool. This is here. This is create the future that I desire. Yes. Cool. I'm going to choose that. So it's like, that's the ease part, right? It's not necessarily easy where everything comes to you and it's like, man, that person can get everything so quick. It's like, I wish I could do that. And it's like, you can, but have you ever been taught to? It's like breathing, right? If you're a breathing coach, it's kind of like you're telling someone to learn how to breathe, but you're almost teaching them how to walk all over again. Because if they've never learned how to breathe, then you are teaching them, in a sense, to walk again. So it's like you have to teach these and implement these, you know, question, awareness, and being present, and you start to create this. And things, you know, what you put out, what comes back to you, and it's, if you put out ease and you put out awareness and presence and questions, that energy will come back to you. But it's so hard. I think nowadays everything is like fast. I want it quick. I want it now. And it's like, are you in the future? Or are you in the past? Or are you here? And if you could be here, could you create more for your future if you were just where your feet were?
Mm-hmm. So true. Okay. So I was trying to try and save this till the end, but quite honestly, I can't. You know, what you're talking about is so profound for a 25-year-old. To have you understand the magic of being present in that moment and to understand how simple life is if you can make just a decision. It's just a decision right now. You know, either way, left or right, which way are you going? And, you know, for you, how did you even come up upon this wisdom? Like, is this something you just figured out?
Well, so I was, you know, I'm very fortunate. You know, I've had two parents who've you know, from day one have said, be whatever you want to be, do whatever you want to do. We'll support you 100%. And I can't express how just amazing that is, because that is a level of kindness that is, it's an infinite space. It's a space to, you're basically saying, hey, this is your life and we love you and we'll support you, but we want you to do what you want to do. So they really opened the doors to a possibility for me and my brother at a young age. So it allowed me, from my view of the world, to kind of go from this kind of horse blinders on to taking them off to everything just expanding. And that brought in, you know, my mom, you know, as we were living in motels, we would be doing home, me and my brother would be doing homework in these, you know, rounding down kitchens. And my mom would be going out all day and be gone all day. And we'd be like, where's she going? But as we, you know, realized later on, she was bringing and finding mentors at gyms and in schools and all these places.
God bless her.
And she was bringing all these men into our lives because my dad wasn't there. So she brought coaches and she brought personal trainers and she brought philosophers and she brought business owners and she brought educators and the whole nine yards. And I'm like, I was like, why are all these men in my life? Like, did I do something? And so eventually a man came into my life, and his name is Gary Douglas. He's the founder of Access Consciousness. And he became my mentor, and he was the first person to really introduce me to the question and to take it to another level. And then as I started developing at an early age, I started then implementing my own questions and my own philosophies through walking by faith, you know, and being present in my life and being present with the people that I'm around. And, you know, whether it came to family or relationship or money, you know, it was just, he again, you know, my mom gave this energy of kindness, and I took on to that, and then he brought that into my world, and then that expanded on my world. So it was like every choice I made, whether it was I chose to be positive, that creates a positive outcome. You know, E plus R equals O, right? We have these events in our lives, we have a reaction to them, and then the O is the outcome. So we're all going to face events. We're all going to face, you know, it's how we react that gets the outcome. So whenever I have a challenge or a breakup or whatever, a business problem or an order goes wrong, I'm always like, cool, how does it get better than this? What else is possible? How can I get around this? And I'm present throughout the whole time. And it allows me just to lock into a flow state without having to meditate or breathe or do these things, which – you know, it's great, but if you can just, you know, time is the only thing we don't get back. So if I can be as quick and as efficient, as present and as aware as possible and ask the questions and allow the universe and God to contribute to me, everything's just all right, you know? I mean, I'm off all of my medication, and I'm physical and I'm healthy and I'm sleeping, and it's just, it's too beautiful, you know? There's sunsets, the sunrise, the sunsets. It's all around us, the sound of the trees, the smell in the air. If we just live on this beautiful place, you know, and even with the coronavirus happening now, it's like, the if you look at the world, is cleansing. It's cleansing itself.
Absolutely.
You can see something greater. And it's just, that's how it became, you know, just mentors and people in my life. And, you know, really, again, blessed. You know, I came into this world with more choice than a lot of people, and I think it was a lot of because of how I looked at it and how I approached certain things. And I kept choosing, kept questioning, and kept choosing. And those were the two things that brought these, you know, these possibilities and these openings.
Talk about blessed. And I hear your passion. I love it. I absolutely love it. So, okay. So I'm riding this wave with you, and I'm totally on board. But let's slow it down a little bit for our listeners, because, you know, for aspiring entrepreneurs and those who are, you know, going through some darkness right now, and, you know, let's look at that that possibility that you're talking about. You know, like, how does it get better than this? How do you really embrace that statement?
So I embrace it with, for me personally, on my day-to-day. you know, I hung up a laminated sign above my door, and it says, "I am grateful for this moment."
Mm.
And when I wake up, I look at that every day. And I instantly, if I can be grateful, I can say, I can find myself wrapping around the question of how does it get better than this? Because once I wake up, open my eyes, I'm seeing this plaque and it says, "I'm grateful for this moment." And then I'm saying, "I'm grateful for my bed. I'm grateful for the roof over my head. You know, I'm grateful for my sheets on my bed. I'm grateful for water. How does it get better than this?" Then my day is instantly started in a prime state, and I haven't even got out of my bed. So I try to prime myself 2 to 3 steps ahead, and priming my environment with gratitude in order to spark the question, to allow me to be present, and then to make the choices that would start creating the future I desire during that day. And I do, you know, a variety of other things, you know, creating tomorrow today. So I'll do little post-it notes, and I'll write kind of little things, the major things I need to accomplish for the next day. So I wake up with an intention. But really, if I can be grateful for the little things, grateful for the last little bit of shampoo in the conditioner bottle when you have to run to work, and you know that, you know, some so seamless that is like, you know, how does it get better than this? The last little bit of gas in your tank gets you to
That's
think,
right.
How does it get, you know, waking up and it's sunny out. How does it get better than this? Or just waking up and being alive and having your health. How does it get better than this? And what else is possible beyond this that I've never considered before? And then maybe you start to come into humility and your consciousness expands more, and you look at situations differently. And, you know, the person who made you angry or frustrated before, you say, "Man, okay, how does it get better than this? What's actually required of me here? And what does this person need from me? You know, what else is possible to create from the question?" So if you can, you know, gratitude may not be for everyone, or it may not be something, you know, priming your environment, but maybe it's just getting to the gas station with that last little, you know, block of gas left, and you know you made it. And you can get home, or you can, you know, you lock yourself out of the house and you remember you have your spare key in your car somewhere. How does it get better than that? But you start to, the more you say, how does it get better than this? What else is possible? You're starting to function from and take away of having like a real point of view about something and saying, "Man, okay, this person is this way, and this is the way it is. This can't change." And of course, there are some things in life we can't change. But I truly believe we can change the trauma and drama that we choose to have in our lives and surround ourselves with. And through the question, how does it get better than this, and what else is possible, it really allows you to take from a take you out of from a space of, man, like, everything's just okay. You know, what else is possible? It's okay, man. Don't worry. How does it get better than this? I really like to use it.
I'm listening to you, and I'm just thinking, I'm amazed. It's like your name is so appropriate, because, you know, Noah, you're totally living in God's world. Your whole perspective, where you're at, and your gratitude, seeing the beauty in everything, in that vibration, you have made the Most High your dwelling, and this is why blessings will continue to come to you. You'll be more amazed every day. And this is where easy and effortless comes from. It's literally from this model that you've chosen to live for your life. And I really applaud your mom. I don't know how she rounded up all those mentors, but you'll have to share that.
I do, you know, and she's been huge, huge hero of mine. She had Hodgkin's when she was 17. She battled that. She went through a car window head first, battled that. Had heart surgery, radiation fused with her spine. She just found out yesterday she had cancer in her lung, so it's a tumor. They have to take 1/3 out. And at the same time, it was like the night before she couldn't breathe. She came into my room at 2 o'clock in the morning, because I'm taking care of her as my brother and dad are gone. And she just, she couldn't barely make it down the stairs. We're calling 911 and we're up. And it was like the night after she found that she had cancer. And I'm like, I'm waking up. And this is where I really want people, I think, to try to expand their point of view a little bit. There are incidents and there are going to be situations where things just, they happen. And the more that we can practice how to get better than this and being present, the more we're not going to be the effect of that event. We're going to be able to, almost like if we threw a pebble in a stream and that pebble just carried down the stream with that current, and you just, it's like, the easiest way I can describe it is if, like, you saw the movie Nemo, and, like, or not Nemo, yeah, was it Nemo? Or where, forget it, Finding Nemo, there it is. And it's a weird analogy, but when you see the turtles, and they're going through that jet stream, and they just jump in on top of with it, and they just jet stream forward, that's what it is. Is if we are in a consistent state of flow, there doesn't have to be where, oh, I have to access my flow state or I have to access this.
So
like,
true.
What if we're in a continuously state of flow? Mm-hmm. Everything in life is creating with you. And you didn't have to be affected by people's judgments or points of views about you or negative thoughts. You could just be like, cool, man, how does it get better than this? This person is judging me. Awesome. What else is possible? Okay, cool. I don't have to have the effect of it. Great. Well, what's next? You know, does this
mm-hmm.
relate to me? No. Perfect.
Mhm. Wow. So you have such a mature attitude. You know, like you have years of wisdom. I mean, it takes people a lifetime to really understand what you have embraced. And seriously, I'm so impressed with you. And I'm thinking to myself now on a personal level, being so young, is it hard to find, you know, girls your age or women your age that are, you know, that are on that page?
In a sense, I mean, I grew up, so when I grew up, when I started out of high school and I started going into, you know, being a professional athlete and traveling, I was so focused on just being present in my life, you know. And after I got out of the institution and found a school that actually worked for me and they taught me how I needed to learn, like really how I wanted to learn versus how they wanted me to learn, it really opened my perspective to being like, oh man, now I have this chance to grow and have this chance to contribute and live my life and choose. And so I just took that on, and that transitioned into, you know, traveling and, you know, meeting people. But I realized as I finished up becoming, you know, a model and an athlete, I was like, okay, well, I don't have a lot of people who are 22, 21, or 24 who are around me. My friends currently are, you know, people who have 4 kids, they have families, they have, you know, businesses, and it's like, I do feel out of place. And I think a lot of our place, I mean, I, you know, with women, it was always just, I never wanted to be in a relationship if it was a bad relationship. I think that a lot of people want to be in a relationship and stay in a relationship just for the sake of having a relationship to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'd rather have no relationship than a bad relationship.
Yep.
But I would also like to be, you know, where it's have allowance for someone. And I think, you know, when I grew up, I always, when I went out to meet women or meet, you know, girls who are my age, I always was like having allowance and being grateful and couldn't find myself having these little, you know, normal chit chat. I was like, man, like, so what do you do? What are you passionate about? You know, I have such allowance for that. What got you into that? Oh, why did you want to do that? Why was that fun for you? And what I found was a lot of them were just put off. And I was like, is there something wrong with me? Is there something that I'm doing? And as the years went on, I just started realizing that my level of consciousness and awareness was just, it was different. It wasn't wrong. It wasn't that I was better than them or they were worse than me. It was just, hey, man, like, you're just on a different frequency, and that's okay.
Right.
And when people come into your life, serve them. And if they don't come into your life, wish them the best and have allowance for them and be grateful. Be grateful for their choice. Because if they broke up with you or didn't want to be with you, they actually saved you a tremendous amount of time. And
yeah.
Be grateful for that. It's just a different point of view, you know?
So true. What a great perspective and a great attitude. So now, you know, a lot of from the overflow of the heart, thou speak. So when you're talking, you make a lot of like metaphysical references. And I'm wondering, do you read a lot? Do you, or is this just something that's natural to you?
It's always kind of been natural. But I've always loved books. Ever since I was a kid, I remember I couldn't. You know, I was like I said, I was learned visually, so put into an institute, got out of that. I was also tested in various, you know, institutions in Houston, and, you know, just because they were like, man, this kid can't read, he can't do math, like, let's put him on medication and try to get him assessed in other ways. So they put me on, you know, all those steroids and, you know, all those drugs. And but I was actually taken to Houston to be assessed for education. So they hooked me up to machines, you know, they did my brain scan, they did, you know, flashcards, all these different, you know, graphs. And they said, man, at the end of it, it almost felt like they kind of gave up, and they sat me down, and there were three doctors in front of me, and some of them had PhDs, and they said, hey, like, you're never going to be able to read, and you're not going to be able to function in society. And I was really young. I think I was eight then.
Wow.
And they just said, hey, look, like, we're sorry, you're a lost cause. And I was like, what? No, I'm not a lost cause. Like, I love reading. And I remember because I would carry a backpack in my house, and I would have 6 or 7 books in it. Maybe I couldn't read them, but I just carried them around because all I wanted to do was learn. All I wanted to do was grow. All I wanted to do was to, man, what is in this book? What are these pages hold? You know? And that just, I think really, it's going to sound a little gooey, but I think I really absorbed those books and the energy that those books gave off in the backpack. I think
absolutely.
I was
no doubt.
willing to receive them.
I have no doubt. Ask and you shall receive. Absolutely.
Ask and you shall receive. And it's just so simple, and it's so true, you know. I think that was, you know, I taught myself how to read, I taught myself how to write, taught myself how to do math, you know. School was big, but after they told me I would never learn to read or write, I think that's when my entrepreneur really kicked in and was like, you know, F you, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to prove you guys wrong, and
right.
I'm going to read. And so I remember just being like, all right, so what is it going to take to read? What is it going to take for me to read? What's going to work for me? What would actually work for Noah? And a couple weeks later, I got a phone, first phone, and started going on social media, internet, started learning words there, finding my passions, fitness, modeling. Then I started picking up words, right? I started picking up words on social media, and then I started looking around as I was driving, and I started reading the freeway signs and stop and FedEx signs and the FedEx cars. And it was just, I learned, I used the world as my library. I was like, these people aren't going to stop me. Yes, maybe I can't read a book now, but I'm going to use my environment. I'm going to utilize everything in my environment, whether it's not just my house, not just my car, but the outside environment, the forest, the breathing for recovery, freeway traffic signs for reading, social media for connecting, to connect my passion to my goal or my target. And that just grew. And I think that's what really, you know, yeah, that's...
You are definitely God's child. I mean, really, if everybody could really take to heart what you were saying, you know, the beauty of living, the privilege, you know, and so many things that we take for granted that you had to work so hard for. And it's just so impressive. So tell me, what books did you carry around?
So I carried around, one was very simple, Frog and Toad, a really, really old book. But other books like Yeah, I probably couldn't even tell you. I just grabbed them off all of my mom's shelves. But a lot of them my mom read. She read, you know, Robert Frost. She read, you know, books from – a lot of poetry. Because my mom wrote poetry. So she would actually read to us – she would read to me when I was going to bed. So she would read to me and my brother. And she would sit in the hall, and my dad would take turns sometimes. But when he would read to us before bed – it was just it was another way to absorb the words, but books, you know, anything books that I had on my shelves, I just threw them in a backpack and I said, hey, I'm gonna keep these in my bag and one day I'm gonna read these, and yeah.
Wow. I mean, you don't have angels. You are definitely a testament to angels. You know, everything that you've absorbed from God's world, from nature, appreciating the sunrise and the sunset, waking up in gratitude, having the understanding that life is a choice. I mean, these principles here are you don't get them at 25.
Really? You know? That's I met like everyone. It's weird because I find that I feel like people are always. I mean, this is for me, and this is as the process has been going on with my, you know, creating and expanding. It's always been like, I still struggle with it today. So I want to kind of dial it back and be a little vulnerable. It's like, I struggle, you know, don't get me wrong in any way. Yes. Gratitude and love. But there are days when I struggle to find the faith and
sure.
I have to look in myself and say, hey, look, like, dude, someone's going to be ahead of you. You know, you're not going to be at this level forever. And I don't, you know, it's weird because when you say I'm the only one at 25 or I'm, it's very hard to get here at 25. I'm kind of like, is it though? Like, I feel like someone could get here like so much quicker. And it's like, I just want to like, can I help you?
No.
Do that?
Mm-mm. No. Our society is drowning in social media and nonsense. Money, material things, superficiality. No, trust me when I tell you, they're not getting that, not at 25. And you should really be really, really proud of yourself and more so to your mom. God bless her. I sent her love
God.
And healing and prayers. It's just, your story is phenomenal. Very, very touching. Mm-hmm. Your passion when you talk, you know that this is straight from your heart. This is, has nothing to do with a quote-unquote interview, you know, stage, nothing. This is who you are. And you've come this far at such a young age that, I mean, there's literally no boundaries for you. I mean, I don't know if you read the Bible. Do you read the Bible at all?
I do. Well, I've read it, and then I take segments from it. So I take, like, quotes or phrases that I can really relate to, but I pray every evening. You know, I make my bed in the morning. You know, how you do something is how you do everything. So if I can pray before, you know, bed every night and say, hey, thank you God for the blessings that you have given me today, and thank you Emily and delivering my mom. It is truly, you know, they
it's
God
an amazing experience.
But it has our back, and we just need to realize that and not be so hard on ourselves to perform at the expectations of others. I think it's really just, man, like, what would work for you? It's that easy. Don't complicate it. You know, you don't have to run 30 minutes. You can run down and back and have a gratitude walk and burn twice as many calories if you really want.
That's right.
But it's like, yeah.
That's right. So, you know, in this, in the vein of, you know, how can you get better than this, right? Well, that's like almost straight from the Bible. When God says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. You are living that life. And you have to know that you're living that life. And so we have no idea what's in store for you. But you're so right on target with your alignment, with your head and your heart. So you know, and as far as, you know, other people, we can never concern ourselves with other people. Everything is about our relationship with our highest self, and that's God. And that's where you're at. You can't get better than that.
There's always something that could get better.
You know, but the thing is, you just don't know how much better it's going to be because of it.
That's
you know,
it,
there's
though.
So many blessings in store for you. And it makes me really, really happy. And I have absolutely no doubt, you know, what kind of leader you're going to be. I have no idea. But you know what? Someday I'm going to get to say that I interviewed you. And definitely my honor. And it gives us all hope, you know, for our youth, you know, to know that, you know, there's people like you out there who are on the come up, who are leading the way with sound advice, your feet on the ground, and it's like you can see through all the darkness. And that's what you're doing. You're seeing through all the darkness, and you're leading the way. So thank you for that.
Thank you. I mean, when I have come back and get to where I want to be, or, you know, that I envision I want to achieve, I'll make sure to say, hey, look, this is my first radio show. This is one of the best, you know. So,
that's right. That's right. You know, isn't it? It's just so, it's so beautiful, so amazing. Okay, so let me go down a little bit in your chapter. Talk about when you had to find your voice. Not only find it, but create it.
Yeah, so it comes back to my brother getting everything, you know, right away, and me kind of really starting to look at, all right, cool, so what's really going to work for me? And I think that's where it started, was not really looking too much at what others were doing and how fast they got things or how quick they seemed to just to attach to things. I was really just, what would work for me? Like, in the simplest terms, if I took all of the negativity and I took the judgments and the points of views of I should do this and I should go here and I should, you know, go to school and do all that, I was like, what would really work? Like, I have no idea what I want to do or where I want to go. And so I started sparking random conversations throughout my family and going up to people in grocery stores and asking them, hey, man, what did you do? Like, I'm Noah. I just want to introduce myself. I saw you across, across the store, and I just wanted to see, like, what did you do to get to your success? And it wasn't like I knew who that person was. I was curious. I just wanted to know everything about everyone. And it wasn't from a place of like, oh, like this person did that and that. It was just, hey, I just want to know more. I want to be more. I want to choose more and see more and feel more and experience more. And I just had no, you know, everyone seemed to be getting it. So I was like, all right, cool. So what would work? All right. So it was cool. What do I have available to me? What do I have working for me? And for me, it was, all right, I'm really good at being physical. I know I can see something done twice and I can nail it. So I was like, all right, cool. Let me teach myself ballroom. Let me teach myself breakdancing. Let me teach myself how to cook. So I taught myself how to do ballroom. I taught myself how to breakdance. I taught myself how to cook. Taught myself how to do gymnastics. You know, I could see someone do something once, and I was like, that's when I started finding my voice. But I started choosing things that I was passionate about, or that I've always had an interest in, or that I always thought that there might have been a possibility there, and it was just to scrape the leaves away and then just to see it and be like, all right, cool, now there's a choice to choose to step in this puddle or not, or whatever it was. So I kind of just out and fleshed out all of the negative points of views coming into this world, and expectations of family, friends, society, and was like, man, this is my life, and mm-hmm. I gotta figure out, this is my life. I only get one life. I can't come back from this. I can't take my car, my house, and I can't take my mom. But what I can take is the knowing that I chose to live a life that was truly mine, and it was authentic, and it was original, and I chose to be different. I chose to be out there and not have a point of view or judgment about myself. So coming back
so
to the question,
beautiful.
I'm gonna cut off. It was really just choosing what would work in the simplest terms. It was just choosing what would work. I think that really allowed me to create the voice for myself. That allowed me to tone, allowed me to, you know, adjust the volume of my internal dialogue, and allowed me to build my confidence in a natural way. It allowed me to build my self-esteem and my knowledge and my wisdom, and allowed me to function in a way that really worked. And that's what really allowed me to function and get through all the darkness. Because it wasn't, if I was functioning in my way, no, I didn't want darkness in my life. It's a choice.
Uh-huh.
It's a choice. So that's when I started really, you know, through question, through choice, through faith, through choosing what would work for me and getting rid of all of the judgments and expectations and points of views about society and the world and what's expected and what is appropriate. I was like, dang, I have a lot more possibilities here now. And now it's just choosing what I would actually like to do.
It's just, I wish your mom could be on here too. I would like to hear her perspective, you know, of her son. She must be so incredibly proud of you. It's like, because I'm a mother and I'm listening to you and I'm thinking to myself, she's got to be like, oh my God, thank God I did it.
She's been, you know, she'll say, you know, the funny thing is, it's, my mom has always been there with me, I think from day one. And I was always raised from, you know, my family, my grandparents are very old, you know, they're old fashioned. So my mom and dad, they didn't want that too much structure. So I said they gave us the point of view to just do what we wanted within reason. But at the same time, she was there. You know, and I think that the youth sometimes doesn't really realize how much our parents do for us until they're gone.
Right.
And my parents are gone. I'm aware of that because I'm aware of what I'm doing and I'm present and I'm aware that I do this and they do this for me and they give me love when I'm not, you know, loving myself. And it's like, you gotta look at that, man. Be grateful. You have two parents, man. If you have two parents, and maybe if they're divorced, okay. But if you have two parents, you're lucky, man. You're extremely lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Because just I don't think people understand the power that family can really bring into and be a support.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so I have to ask you this. Looking forward, do you ever think about how you see yourself as a parent?
Oh, yes. All the time. That's really weird to say, but I fantasize a lot about it.
Good.
I want my kids to choose. I want my kids to come into this world with choice. And I want them to know that they're not wrong for being who they are, ever. And mm-hmm. I want them to have that awareness. I want them to, you know, if they want something or they want to have something, I'll spark the question, you know, ask the question, how can you get this? How can you get this? What else is possible? If someone's bullying you at school, you know, of course, as a father, I'll step in, but I want my kids to expand and leave the world better than it was. I think mm-hmm. that instilling that and really giving them the choice of possibility and the awareness to be present and to latch on to something that's really positive. And, you know, I said I won't know till I have kids. But what I can say is I think that allowing them to be truly themselves and not trying to govern it so much that they feel like they have to battle themselves in their head, I think that's the worst thing. I think that if you can allow them to, at an early age, to be able to choose for who they are and what they want and to instill that awareness that they have that choice and they have the ability to choose,
mm-hmm.
99% of the time, I won't have to worry. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, there are things that you can't change, but, I mean, all I want my kids to do is to, you know, is to treat people well, treat themselves well, and if they can be of service in a greater way, to the people that they're around or their business they're in, and have character. And I think that that's the thing, is like social media has become, was, are you this person or are you that person?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think that real, I think experiences and hands-on and character and integrity and morals and values, I think those are starting to make a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that, you know, with everything on social media and the coronavirus, it's like social media is becoming fun again. You know, people are doing push-up challenges. People are doing some weird stuff. They're getting outside. I mean, I smile every time I see kids now riding their bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that's so cool. That's amazing. It's fashion. That brings
right?
so much joy to my heart. I have like butterflies talking about it right now because that's what I love. That's where
mm-hmm.
I was grown up. Grown up right at that edge where social media hit and the old time was just about to break. And I grew up playing, you know, with sticks and going out to the desert and using my imagination and riding bikes and building forts and having my dog with us. And there's a sense of wonder and possibility and joy and creativity.
Absolutely.
Abundance. And I look at it, you know, the coronavirus, I said, how does it get better than this? Honestly, I know that people are like, what are you saying? How can you say that? It's like, I'm like, it's a different point of view, and I'm entitled to it. You're entitled to yours,
mm-hmm.
but look at it. How does it get better than this? Do I want to sit and stress and worry? How does it get better than this? Like, can I do something different? Can I be more productive? Can I write another book? Can I, you know, teach someone? Can I reach out to someone? Can I reach out to someone on social media? Can I do something bigger than myself? Like, you, I think this is great because it's really allowed people to isolate themselves and having to dissolve and look inside themselves and touch deep in who they are and say, man,
amen.
I can't work. I can't do this. Like, I have to look inside now. I have to do the most uncomfortable thing and look inside and be honest with who I am.
Uh-huh.
And I think the world is creating a cleanse. I think it really is. I think it's creating a cleanse in culture and values and media and how we see each other and how we treat each other. I mean, people are all coming together. I was at the hospital yesterday and all of them were happy. All of them were working together and communion. I was like, that's what it's about.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. No one's on their phone. No one's touching their phone. Everyone's, you know, you can't touch people. So you have to expand your awareness out and be aware of who you're with and what you're around. So change is happening, and change is going to continue to happen. And
it's so beautiful.
I think the
it's
more
a beautiful
that
beautiful time right now.
It is. It's gorgeous. Oh my God! It is. I wish there was replay button that I could, you know, when I'm 80, I could replay this moment just because it's so. Everything is lighting up, you know.
Yeah.
It's everything
transformational.
Yes. And it's absolutely, it's just beautiful. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this world and to be a part of, you know, this call and this life and be a part of, you know, with Jim and just everything. It's, you know, how does it get better than this? Like, what else? Really? And that's what it is. That's the energy.
I tell you, it gets better. It just, you know, more opportunities come and you're just like, okay, I guess I'm on that. I'm on that boat.
And I think what trust too is people can have bad times too. It's not always going to be good. And I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people saying, as normal people would say, it's like, hey, like, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've been through. And it's like, dude, just ask the question. Watch your mindset change. Watch the universe start to gift you. Because what you put out, you get back.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
If you're negative and you're angry and you're frustrated and you're saying life's not going my way, it's like, that's a point of view. That's a choice.
That's right. 100%. Some people don't understand that, you know, choosing the circumstances. You know, do you think if I had a choice to be happy that I wouldn't choose that? That's what I get. And they don't understand that choice.
And it goes back to, you know, relationship. You know, some people would rather have a horrible relationship than no relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's a choice. You know, don't you're complaining about your relationship. It's a choice. It's a choice to quit your relationship. It's a choice to quit your job. You know, it's a choice to change your finances, to do this and that. And it's like when you make a choice, then you create a different possibility. You start to bulldoze all these little things to clear the way for these bigger, gigantic, just magnificent events.
Yeah.
And it's not about making these big, drastic changes like, oh, I have to do this and I have to be on TV. It's like, what if you just said to yourself every day that, dude, you're awesome. You're okay. You're cool. You're loved. Let's get it in. Let's just focus on what we need to focus on. And, you know, I said something really young when I was younger, and it was, I said, universe, God, show me something beautiful today.
Mm.
And I would wake up and I wouldn't have a point of view about what it looked like. And then 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock or 11 a.m. would show up and a sunset would rise, or someone would take their dog for a walk and, you know, they would see someone fall and they'd help them up, or someone would help someone across the street.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and you shall receive. Show me something beautiful today, and be willing to receive it.
Love it. Be willing to receive it. That's right. So, okay, what was really important with what you said is an expectation. Some people want something, you know, magnanimous. You're not even appreciating this small beauty in life.
It is. It's the little things. It's the little things. It's the little things that matter the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just it's simple. It's simple. You know, receive it. Question. Be willing to choose. Be open. You know, have a good head on your shoulders, and you know, treat people well. Because look, if you don't, I can say this one thing, and it's like the realest thing. If anyone. And there's some things that people will say, oh, that's not possible, not going to happen. Oh, that's okay. It's like, look, if I'm anyone who has had a certain experience with this, it's like what you put out and what you do in your younger years, whether it's whether you're high school, middle school, 25, 24, 30, and you treat people horribly, or you treat them with disrespect, or don't treat them with kindness, or take their time for granted, guess what? There's someone, God's going to put someone in your life, and they're going to take that time from you. And they're going to treat you, and they're going to tell you things that you're not going to like. And it's like, hey, it's coming back to you. What you put
out is
coming back. And that's, some people call it karma. Some people call it, you know, energy, well, whatever. It's like, but it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can develop a positive system and choice and question and be present, you're in a flow state. You're there. You're,
absolutely.
You're going to choose.
You know? And to your point, what you're saying, a lot of times, you know, it almost sounds like it's a fear tactic. You know, you watch what you put out because you're going to get that back. But, you know, spin it to your benefit. What can you do today that's absolutely positive and loving that you can put out knowing that you're going to get it back? It's just, you just are, not with an expectation. You just know. You don't know when, you don't know how, but you know.
Yeah.
So keep doing it.
Following your knowing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think I really enjoy this call. It's beyond amazing. The show is just, wow.
Thank you.
Your energy yourself, it's, God, wow, she's thankful. Thank you for you being on this earth. Like, really, thank you for having this show, because this is a blessing in itself, because it's allowing me to share my story. So, like, you are a gift. And
thank you.
The show is a gift. And, you know, everything that's going on, I think, in the world is a gift if we see it as that. But I do believe, you know, what we put out, we can get back.
Right. Exactly. And to your point about us both being on the call, this is what happens when the universe, when God is at work, he brings his points of light together. And you want to work at being a point of light. And in order to really receive all the beautiful things that you said today on this interview of our negativity, our story, our baggage, our pain, you know, all the injustices that we've had to endure in our whole life, you've got to drop it and just pick the points that you said and run with it. Your life will change immediately.
Exactly. You make a choice, it, you know, one choice can change everything.
Mm-hmm. Moment to moment.
Exactly.
Just like the choice to wake up in gratitude. That's a decision. Yeah. It's a decision. And, you know, when you have a little bit, you'll be given more. So when mm-hmm. you are grateful for even the smallest of things, you'll be given more to be grateful for. So even, you know, and that's scripture. Even when you have enough to be grateful for, because everybody, no matter where you are in your life, you have something to be grateful for. And if you can't recognize, you can't see it, even what you have will be taken.
Yeah.
We have to be cognizant of that.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think people struggle with gratitude so much?
Because we live in a superficial society who competes, compares, and we have lost our way in our self-love. And so because we have no self-worth, we have no idea where we stand in this world, we're looking at the outside world, or why can't it be me? Why is that not me? When, to your point, it's a decision. You got to make a choice. It is you. It is you. Start loving, start appreciating, start having gratitude, start making a difference. Tell yourself that you are the miracle, and then be it.
Exactly.
Be thankful. What's
so
that?
Profound. That's so profound. Be it. It's be it. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's that simple. It doesn't matter where you came from, and your story is proof of the pudding right there. I mean, anybody who reads this chapter, and I highly recommend my listeners to read the chapter after listening to this beautiful interview to really know more about you and the depth of your story, the challenges that you face that most people don't have to face. They just don't. And to see the journey that you're on and where you're at 25, it's almost unheard of. So I literally, you have stolen my heart, and I bless you and everything that you do, and your mom, thank God for her. I bless her in her journey, and I have absolute faith that she's going to come out of this too. Thank you for being on the show. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. You have a wonderful day, and we will definitely connect. Now tell the listeners where we can get a hold of you. Where can we find you?
Yeah, so social media, just Noah Amp, last name A-M-P, Noah, N-O-A-H. Same thing on LinkedIn or Facebook, just Noah Amparano, Amparano, A-M-P-A-R-A-N-O.
Wonderful.
You can find me.
And I have those links, too, at the bottom of the show there, so you can get a hold of Noah there. Noah, again, thank you so much. You have a wonderful, wonderful day. We'll be in touch.
Thank you. You, too.
All right.
Have a good one.
You, too. Thank you. Bye-bye.